Hi, I'm Andrew Fryer, and I'm an evangelist at Microsoft, and I'm joined by another evangelist, but a slightly different and scary for me species, the developer evangelist.
Yeah, that's me.
Superstar Mike Talty. We share a common interest because we're both at SQL Bits, we're both interested in SQL Server, but from different perspectives. One of the areas where that kind of comes together is this whole business around link and entity framework. And I always get confused by these, Mike. So could you help me out?
I can try. So I find this a lot with database people. Database people always come up and say, I want to talk to you about link. And generally speaking, the next question is, to what? Because they stop at that point. They say, I want to talk to you about link. Link doesn't work, or link is great, or link is green, or link is blue. And you're thinking, link is not a term generally that you use on its own. So all the way back in .NET Framework 3.5, which is what we shipped with Visual Studio 2008, we, if you like, invented link, language integrated query. And essentially that went into the Visual Basic compiler and the C# compiler. And it's a bit of technology that allows you to use certain syntax in those languages. And we can do a couple of things with it. We can kind of evaluate it on the fly. And we do that in two technologies called link to objects and link to XML. And essentially what that is, it's about lists of things that are in memory in your program, and we just kind of work our way through lists. But there's another side to it, which is where we can actually capture the query that you wrote and translate it into something else. And we do that in a technology in Framework 3.5 called Link to SQL.
Yeah, that's the one I know, yeah.
And we also do it in .NET Framework 3.5 Service Pack 1, which is what comes with Visual Studio 2008 Service Pack 1, in a technology called Link to Entities. So generally speaking, when somebody's saying link, you're always saying, well, what is it? Is it linked to objects? Is it linked to XML? Is it linked to SQL? Or is it linked to entities? And then there's a bit of confusion around those two object relational technologies, because we're at a database conference, we're at SQL Bits. So generally speaking here, when people say link, you've got to assume that what they mean is link to SQL or link to entities. Link to SQL is a technology, say, we shipped it in 3.5. It is SQL Server only. And it is a fairly simplistic but pretty functional object relational mapper between obviously objects in memory and stuff that lives in database tables. But it's SQL Server only, and there's a fairly literal translation between what you see as objects in your program and what actually exists in the database. So, you know, if you've got a table called customers with a couple of columns on it, pretty much in your .NET program you end up with a type called customers with a couple of properties on it that look just like those ones in the database.
So no more dynamic SQL for you guys?
I think no more is a strong word to use, but it gets you away from doing the dynamic SQL work yourself,
right?
And allows that to be pushed into a framework piece.
Yeah.
And so Entity Framework is in partial sort of similar thing, except what Entity Framework does, it firstly allows you the capability to work with different databases. It's not SQL Server only, with providers out there for Oracle and DB2 and so on. And then also it takes less of a literal stance between what's in your database schema and what shows up inside your application. So there's more of a mapping that goes on in between those two things. So generally speaking, you've got link to objects, to XML, to SQL, to entities. And there are some other things we're doing around link with technologies like parallel link or plink. And there's other bits of link out there. And then once you're into the relational world, you know, you're talking about, is it linked to SQL, is it linked to entities? In a nutshell, one is a fairly simple sort of mapper that just works with SQL Server. One is a more complex mapper that works with multiple databases.
So if we move into the, it sounds like, for me, the entity framework sounds more interesting because it's like a bridge, a semantic layer between my database and your application. And therefore, you could maybe have different databases at the back.
It's certainly
and swap them out. And also, I think I remember seeing something like you could have the schema in the entity framework gets shipped with your application as an XML file?
Yeah, you do. So to go a little bit deeper with entity framework, what you actually end up doing is building sort of two models, really, of what you want. One is a thing called the store schema model, which is an XML file that represents what's in the database. It might not be a complete picture of what's in that database. It's just the bits that you need and actually to get what you want to get done. And then a conceptual file that sits on top of that. And then between, we put a map. So you end up with three XML files, really, conceptual, map, and schema. They can be bundled into your application code, or you can just drop them in the file system. And if you drop them in the file system, you get some interesting things about maybe replacing them with other things at runtime. That's quite a sort of advanced scenario.
Okay. But the key thing we've got now is with Entity Framework, we're database independent. in a way that we aren't with linked to SQL, and you've got this kind of modeling thing going on. Yeah,
I think you've got to be a little bit careful. I think the idea you can just build an app and have it be truly database independent is a dream rather than a reality, perhaps. But it gets you closer to that. It certainly moves you along that line.
Yeah, because I mean, I've looked at, you know, on the techie side, DBA world, I've looked at the output coming out of Link, certainly Link to SQL, and then profiled that. And the SQL I see coming out seems very, very well formed and is generating good execution plans and looks optimum for doing the job that it's supposed to do. So I'm loving that back end bit of it, which is good. And it makes it easier for you to develop.
Yeah, absolutely. So the SQL that comes out of it ultimately is coming out of a piece of framework componentry that was built by the SQL team.
Right.
They should be good at that stuff.
Well, you'd hope so.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, and your session went well.
Yeah, so I was doing a session here today on ADO.NET data services. So what that is essentially a layer that also ships in Framework 3.5 Service Pack 1. And what that does is it exposes data. And that data might just be some objects that you've got in your program. It might be data from SQL Server. We can plug in Link to SQL. It might be data from Entity Framework because we can plug in Link to Entities.
Oh yeah.
And it surfaces this over RESTful web services. So in a nutshell, HTTP access, data identified by URI, and bringing back and sending forward data as plain XML or JSON, so JavaScript serialized object notation data. So very, you know, a lot of RESTful services on the web today where we're seeing that sort of use of the internet technologies. HTTP already exists. It's very, very big scale. You know, it powers the web. The web seems to work.
Yeah.
And REST is really about taking that and trying to use those same protocols, that same technology in a very simple way to expose distributed application data and build distributed systems without going into too many complex, weird and wonderful protocols.
Whoa, so that's even scarier for my poor little DBA brain. That's probably why you're a developer and I'm an IT pro evangelist.
It could be. It's not really as hard as it sounds. You'd be surprised. Yeah. We did a session. We didn't write more than, you know, 50 or 100 lines of code and all kinds of things happen. We've got some great client libraries for accessing these services. Data services on the server side makes it really easy to expose your stuff.
Yep.
So actually, in truth, whilst these terms sound complicated, we can get these services built in a really, really productive way, really quickly, and then you can get on to building your core business logic.
So this is sort of the foundation of developing for the cloud, really, isn't it?
Well, yes. So I heard somebody recently, I think I heard Aaron Sconner down at the DevWeek conference in London talk about the cloud being the platform and REST being the API. So yeah, you can look at these RESTful services and you can see what we're doing at Windows Azure and so on, and around live services. There's lots of RESTful APIs up there in the cloud. Yeah, so you could see it that way.
Mike, thanks very much for your time. Hopefully there's a few less confused DBAs out there.
I think I probably made it worse for you, haven't I?
No, I kind of get it. Anyway, thanks for your time.
Nice talking to you.
Cheers, Jack.